Little Otter Babes chuckled uproariously as the Hares sang barrackroom ballads.
There's going to be a mutiny, mate, I'm telling you. If there ain't Gillian Doherty to feed this big fat crew, don't dish them up, no sallies, or no good ghoulies, you. If there ain't Gillian Doherty, it might eat me and you. Whoa, Gillian Duff, that's the stuff for my old crew to chew. It's hot and thick, so take your pick, it'll do the trick, it'll be feeling sick. So fill your tum, my double chum, don't pant and wheeze and puff. You'll run like a hare and fight like a bear on good old Gillian Duff. So go stand looking silly, feed me lots of Gillian Duff.
They sang it twice more, each time speeding up the words. Tyria sang along with the bits she could catch, though like the Otter Babes, she mostly whooped and thumped the ground with her rudder. It was all such good fun. She looked at the happy faces around the fire, sniffed at the savoury aromas from the cooking, and thanked her good fortune that the day had ended so well. The rule of the cats was finished. She had slain Rigu Felis, the tyrant. The thought of killing another creature did not sit easy on her mind, but when the Otter Maid saw all the free slaves, she felt thoroughly justified by her swift action in the heat of battle. The food, when it arrived, was a real victory feast. Tyria sat sampling the various dishes, with Brantalis, Colour Sergeant O'Crag, Banya, Letho, and her two subalterns. There was an unending supply of shrimp and hot root soup for the otters, plenty of Gillian Duff for the hares, trifles and tarts for the little ones, and so many different pasties that it was hard to choose which one to try next. Big Colin passed the dish to the Barnacle Goose.
Get your old beak around that, mate. It's leek and roasted parsnip and hazelnut sauce.
Brantalis clacked his beak happily.
I am thinking this will taste as good as it looks.
Tyria patted her friend's long neck.
I'm sure it will, mate. I wish our Red Wallers were here to join in with all this. My dad, Brink, and those three rascals, Brinty, Tribsy and Kiri.
Brantalis looked up from the dish he was about to sample.
I am thinking I should have mentioned your friend, the mouse named Brinty.
Tyria chuckled.
Why, what's that rogue been up to?
The Barnacle Goose shook his head mournfully.
Alas, the young mouse is dead.
Tyria stared at him blankly.
Dead? Surely you're mistaken. Brinty can't be dead.
Letho placed his paw over hers, murmuring.
Hear him out, lady. What happened to him, mate?
Brantalis explained about the slaying of Brinty at the Abbey Gate by the rat called Grofgut. Then he apologised.
I am sorry, but in all the excitement since I came here, I am thinking I forgot to mention this sad news.
No longer able to enjoy the feast, Tyria wandered off alone and sat weeping by the lakeside. After a while, Letho came to comfort her.
Brinty must have been a very good friend to you, lady. I have seen many of my mates slain. It's a hard thing to bear, more so when you're far away in a strange place and there ain't a thing you can do about it.
The Otter Maid nodded.
Aye, poor Brinty. And he did so want to become a warrior some day.
Letho peered out at the lake whilst Tyria dried her eyes.
Well, from what the goose told us, he got his wish. Brinty went out fighting like a real warrior. Do you know, I think we should honour him, like we did those others today. Let's do it. Just me and you, eh?
He pressed something in Tyria's paw, explaining.
It's a little wooden figure. Banya gave it to me. Us clan beasts often use it if the warrior gets lost in battle. It's an otter, see? But Banya carved the rudder down thin, so that it looks like a mouse.
Tyria gazed at the small object.
I see what you mean. So this is my Brinty. What do we do with him now?
The outlaw explained.
Well, we ties him to a stone with a few flowers bound around. Then we puts him in the lake with the others who fell today. That way he's in good company, amid warriors like himself, lady.